What's going on, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Suisse. Of course, the Locked On Blue Jays podcast is free and available on all platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. You can find my work on Twitter at We Sports, where I appear in Sportsnet, ESPN's The Undefeated, the Toronto Star, as well as play-by-play broadcasting for Saga 960 AM Radio. Of course, I want to thank all listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
On this episode, we have a busy one ahead. We have a special guest on this episode. But before we get to our special guest, I'd like to once again welcome MLB analyst Jen Smith. Jen, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. I'm very excited to be welcoming our special guest today, Lauren Campbell from at Locked On Red Sox.
Yes, Locked On Red Sox, NSCN, one third of the NSCN Bruins pod, and chicken nugget enthusiast. Lauren Campbell, welcome to the Locked On Blue Jays podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. Big chicken nugget gal over here.
So which fast food joint do you get your chicken nuggets from?
McDonald's.
Okay.
Wendy's has, if I want spicy, I'm going to Wendy's, but if I just want chicken nuggets, I have to go to McDonald's.
Fair enough.
Have you tried the McDonald's spicy ones?
I did, and then they got rid of them. So I don't know if they just don't have them here anymore, or if they're just like not advertised. But I went to McDonald's the other day because I wanted chicken nuggets, and the spicy ones weren't even on the menu.
Classic. Well, you know, from chicken nuggets to the Boston Red Sox, that is how we're going to segue this conversation here. Of course, both had, you know, great seasons. Of course, chicken nuggets always in season, regardless of where it is. And you can make a case the Boston Red Sox too. Surprising a lot of people in 2021. It was a roller coaster of a season. But the Boston Red Sox got into the playoffs to much Blue Jays fans' dismay on that final day of the season. And of course, the Boston Red Sox advanced to the ALCS before losing to the Houston Astros. So, Lauren, I guess to start things off, I mean, how would you evaluate the 2021 Boston Red Sox season?
I think at the end of the day, it was a success, because before the season even started, MLB experts, MLB analysts were writing the Red Sox off. They said that they wouldn't even make the playoffs. They'd win maybe 70 games, and they were a 92-win team. And then when the playoffs rolled around, it was, oh, they won't beat the Yankees. Oh, they're definitely not beating the Rays. And they consistently overcame being the underdog. They were the Cinderella story in the playoffs. And everyone loves the Cinderella story, right? So I think at the end of the day, as much as it stunk losing to the Astros and the ALCS, in a way, I feel like fans saw that coming. But you had to be happy with what they did this season, because they had a COVID outbreak at the end of the season and they fell out of first place in the AL East. They were in first place in the AL East for, I think, 85 days. So you think, look at the players they had. They didn't have these big superstars. They had their Xander Bogarts and the Rafael Devers, of course. But it wasn't them. It was the Hunter Renfroes. It was the Kike Hernandezes doing the heavy lifting and always coming in clutch. And after a kind of a boring, I guess I'll say, or lackluster trade deadline, they were still winning games. So I'm gonna say it was a success. Obviously, I would have loved to see them go to the World Series, but I'll take go to the ALCS in a year that they were only projected to win 70 games.
Yeah, and I just find it fascinating because, look, I got to be honest with you. Like, when they got swept by the Yankees in September, I'm like, okay, it's done. You know, put the nail in the coffin. The Red Sox, it just doesn't look great for them. And I know for Blue Jays fans, that sort of felt like the time where, you know, maybe they were celebrating a little bit too early in Toronto in terms of getting to the playoffs. We, of course, know what happened. But I just think for that team, this is something that you can build on, right? I mean, especially like you said, Lauren, with the young core. And for a lot of those young guys, we talk about this sometimes with the Blue Jays players who experience this year, September baseball for the first time. But for those young guys in Boston, you know, for many of them, like their first postseason, right? First postseason and getting to the ALCS, I just think it's something that they can build on.
Oh, 100%. And you have really good veteran leadership with Xander Bogaerts, with JD Martinez, with Christian Vasquez, with Hunter Renfroe. He's an MLB vet, but he's coming in with a ton of experience. He's played on playoff teams before. And Alex Cora, too. I mean, these players love Alex Cora. I think people really underestimated just how much he meant to this team, especially in 2020 under Ron Renneke. And then he comes back and you just see how much the players really take to him, how much they respect him and hear him in the clubhouse. But yeah, I mean, they're set up. They are setting themselves up too for success. Chaim Bloom is building back this farm system that was brought down by Dave Dombrowski, which that's what he was supposed to do while he was here. And it's going to be, they're setting themselves up. They have great leadership. They just need they need pitching, but you know, to have leadership, especially in a professional sport, you have great manager, great leadership. You're setting yourself up perfectly for success for next season and beyond.
I think right now everybody's looking for pitching. That's something that's definitely, you know, at the forefront of Jays fans' minds for sure. You mentioned, of course, you know, how everybody had written off the Red Sox, you know, leading into this season. And, you know, they put up a 92-win season, you know, get to the ALCS. Obviously, there were some really good performances, right? Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts were just named Silver Sluggers. Aside from sort of the obvious, you know, what went better than expected this season that led to the Red Sox to actually get to the ALCS? And who maybe really stood out to you?
So who really stood out to me was Hunter Renfroe. I know, like I said, he's an MLB vet, but he did so much. I mean, he was named a Gold Glove finalist and he was just throwing everybody out in the outfield. So he really kind of came in and just owned the outfield at Fenway Park and really kind of took leadership in a way on a brand new team for him. But so much led to the Red Sox being successful. I mean, Nate Eovaldi, I don't think anyone expected him to be so dominant. You expect him to be dominant, yes, but he took over number one role on this team. He became the team's ace. And all of a sudden, he's had his career year. He stayed healthy, which I really think was understated throughout this year. He was healthy. He's a two-time Tommy John recovery there. And he had loose bodies removed from his elbow. He's always kind of been dealing with injuries. So he stayed healthy. And then you move Garrett Richards out of the starting rotation into the bullpen and you find a gem in there for a little while. Matt Barnes for the first half of the season anyway, really carried the team and was almost unhittable. And then just kind of like, I'm not going to call them the no-name guys, but the guys who haven't been around as long, Kike Hernandez, the Hunter Renfroes, Kyle Schwarber, even at the trade deadline was a huge name because people didn't want him. And it wasn't because they didn't like him. It was just because where the heck does he go in this lineup and in the field? Where does he go? Now everyone's like, we have to resign this guy. What was Chaim Bloom doing? You need to resign him immediately, even though still there's really no fit for him right now. So it's really just a mix of everything and everyone, even the AAA guys. Jonathan Alvarez came in clutch. I think he had like the game-winning home run or game-winning hit during the COVID outbreak. Jose Iglesias even, and when he came here in September and he really kind of helped the Red Sox get to the postseason. So it was a mix of a little bit of everyone. It was the core, it was the veterans, it was the AAA guys, all just kind of meshed together to create this 92-win team.
Yeah, and then, of course, you have the Red Sox beating the Yankees in the wild card game. They beat then their divisional rival, Tampa Bay Rays, in the ALDS. And I don't know about you, Lauren, in Boston, but it just felt like that they could go win the whole thing, right? Like they could go and win the whole World Series. But when you look at then the ALCS and them losing to the Houston Astros in a hard-fought series, but what would you say is something from that series that the team's going to take away and try to address either in the offseason or try to improve going into next year?
Well, the biggest thing in the final two games of that series was the Red Sox could not score with runners in scoring position. It was such a struggle for them. And it was so annoying to watch. Like, you're wasting a leadoff triple from Christian Arroyo and you can't get him home. The bases are loaded with one out. You hit into a double play. So much was going wrong in that department, but also in winnable games that they lost, the pitching couldn't hold on to the lead there. So I think their biggest thing they're going to take away is they need to go find somebody who's reliable out of the bullpen. They can't keep putting their starters in the bullpen. It's just not sustainable. Hansel Robles, Austin Davis, respectfully, are just not the answer. And you need somebody who's got experience, who's reliable, who you can trust. I mean, you had Martin Perez in the bullpen and they were like, no. Okay, let's see. What kind of position players do we have to pitch? Like, they were doing everything they could to stay away from Perez. So you need somebody who is just, who's going to be able to attack the batters. Astros are a very deep team. They're a very good team, 1 through 9. I mean, Jose Altuve was like their fifth best hitter, and that's scary in and of itself. So you need somebody where you have Nate Eovaldi gives you 5 innings, 6 innings of solid work. You need to be able to be like, okay, next man up, and worry about the offense later. Cause you know, you have the offense, you know, you have the big bats. It's the pitching where you look and you're like, who do we have? Oh God, not Martin Perez.
Yeah. As Jen said, a lot of teams looking to upgrade pitching this offseason with Lauren Campbell, co-host of the Locked On Red Sox podcast, as well as Nesson. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast crossover edition. We'll be back and continue our conversation with Lauren in just a moment. But first, let me check with our friends at Built Bar. Now, look, I love Thanksgiving, all the good food and treats and plenty of them. But maybe you want a yummy dessert, but isn't so full of calories and sugar. Well, it's the perfect time for Built Bar. Built Bar, the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel absolutely good about it. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar. Or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein. Built Bar is the option for you. Now, how do you get Built Bar, you might ask? Well, go to built.com and use the promo code LOCK15. And you'll get 50% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 50% off at built.com. All right, welcome back. Lucas Suisse, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast crossover edition. We're joined by Lauren Campbell from the Locked On Red Sox podcast. So, Lauren, I mean, we talked off the top about the Red Sox and their 2021 season making the ALCS. But one team back of the Boston Red Sox were the Toronto Blue Jays with 91 wins to their name. And unfortunately, we didn't get to see the Boston Red Sox in September. We saw the Boston Red Sox earlier on in the season. But in those games, Lauren, that Boston and Toronto played, what did you see about Toronto that for Red Sox fans, you know, might have scared them a bit this season?
The offense is scary. I mean, it's not very often that you have a 91 win team that they don't make the playoffs. That just goes to show how stacked this AL East division is and how tight the races can be. But, you know, the Blue Jays are very, very close to being a very deep playoff team. They're not far off at all. And, you know, you just Vlad Guerrero Jr., we've been hearing about him for years and years, and he's just getting better. And I feel like every full season, he's just going to continue to work at his craft. And I mean, when your father is Vlad Guerrero Sr., you're swinging the same way he is, you're going to be successful. But just in their pitching too, it is really good. I feel like the Blue Jays are maybe like one or two players away from being a complete team through and through. They're going to be scary. And I think next year they're a very serious threat to not just the Red Sox, but the Yankees and the Astros even. They've been counted out for so long, and now that they're finally becoming legitimate, they've worked so hard to not just be a good offensive team, not just be a good defensive team. They're good. And when you have a complete team, that's just scary in and of itself. But all in all, I feel like the offense, because like the Astros, they're deep there. Like, you just go down the lineup and you're like, oh, I don't want to hit him. I don't want to throw to him. And there's so many players on that team that were Red Sox killers. And they're going to continue to just give the Red Sox hell. That's what makes the AL East fun, right?
There are several things that you've said here that, you know, a parallel with sort of the Jays season. You know, you mentioned how, you know, the Red Sox had trouble scoring with runners, you know, runners in scoring position. And that was something that the Jays often struggled with, or that the bullpen could not hold down a one run lead. You know, again, something that the Blue Jays had an issue with. And in the battlefield that is the AL East, right? Like every single run, every single game, you know, quite literally matters, as we saw in 2021. It was really interesting, you know, coming down towards that final weekend when it looked like there could be the possibility of a four-way tie. And the Yankees ended up choosing the Boston Red Sox as their opponent if there was that scenario. And I'm wondering, you know, how did Red Sox fans sort of take that? Was it sort of viewed as an insult? And then conversely, I'm wondering if the Red Sox had had to make the decision, who do you think they would have chosen? Would they have chosen the Yankees or the Jays?
So I think that the Red Sox, the fans and the team probably loved that the Yankees chose the Red Sox just because of the rivalry. It's so storied. It's so historic. And in 2018, you know, you had Aaron Judge walking through the Fenway Concourse blasting New York, New York on a boombox. So, you know, it's always fun when they try to troll the Red Sox, or they, you know, you're obviously picking the Red Sox because you think you're better than them, or you think you have a better chance to beat them in a one game playoff. And that's fine. I mean, I did respect the Yankees for, you know, wanting to try to not take the easy way out, but, you know, pick the opponent they think they had the advantage over. And the regular season stats told that story. But it's always fun when the Yankees, you know, they'll say something, or, you know, in this case, if that were the four-way tie were to happen, they picked the Red Sox and they got the Red Sox anyway, and the Red Sox beat them. So it's kind of like, oh, that's your karma for thinking that you could beat us. You know, but if the Red Sox, you know, reverse the roles there, I would, in my mind, I feel like they would want to pick the Blue Jays. And again, it's because probably in their mind think they have the advantage over them. However, again, it's the rivalry with the Yankees. It's just that it's the Aaron Boone, Alex Cora story there. It's the Red Sox Yankees story there. But, you know, I think too, that if it was Red Sox Blue Jays would have been incredibly competitive, incredibly fun. But I think in my mind, if I was the Red Sox, I would choose the Blue Jays.
That's interesting. And it's interesting because we had Kevin Weiss from the Locked On Rays podcast on for another crossover episode we did recently. And it's interesting because, look, Red Sox, Yankees, that rivalry is very historic. It goes generations, the back and forth between those two teams. I feel like 2021, the Blue Jays and the Rays really accelerated things, particularly towards the end of the season with Card Gate and all that stuff that happened at the Trop. But the Blue Jays and Red Sox, I feel like, could become something, but hasn't really yet, because either one team's been really good and the other team's been really bad, and vice versa. But I got to be honest with you, Lauren. I mean, Boston has had Toronto's number in the other sports. I mean, I'm still getting over the Bruins, you know, coming back against the Leafs here. Okay, I'm still getting over that. I'm still trying to get over the fact that the Celtics beat the Raptors in seven games in the bubble in 2020. So I just feel like, it's Boston has Toronto's number, and they sort of did it indirectly again at the end of 2021 with sneaking in on the final day of their baseball season.
Yeah, it's Boston and Toronto is just, they have their own fun rivalry, like you said, especially the Bruins and the Maple Leafs, Celtics and the Raptors. I just feel like it goes so far through sports. And you know, the last day, this baseball season as a whole is just so fun, but there's nothing more stressful than watching your team on the last day of the season, just being like, everything's on the line right here. I don't know what to do. But I mean, also if being from Boston and being raised in this Boston area, it's so, so fulfilling when any Boston team beats Toronto.
Oh, well, no doubt. I mean, again, that's why I say, like, I don't think it's that much of a rivalry yet, but hopefully with the way in which the Blue Jays and Red Sox, young teams, the trajectory, you know, hopefully a playoff series is imminent, because that would be a lot of fun. We're joined, of course, by Lauren Campbell, co-host of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast, crossover edition. We'll be back with our conversation with Lauren in just a moment. But first, let's check with our friends at betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season, and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. I want to thank all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. We are joined by Lauren Campbell, co-host of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. So Lauren, of course, as we're recording this, you know, the offseason is very much upon us. The GM meetings have been this week, which has been a potpourri, if you will, of rumors and different tweets and names being thrown out there, and always quite the social media buzz if you are a baseball fan. How do you evaluate right now, after watching what you saw in 2021 and going forward, like, what would you say would be a successful offseason for the Boston Red Sox?
I think that if for it to be a success, they need to sign a starting pitcher and a reliable bullpen guy. I think that really they're covered everywhere else. I mean, JD Martinez decided not to opt out, so you're good there. He gives you some versatility in the outfield. You don't really want to, as much as I loved Kyle Schwarber, I just don't think there's a fit for him. As much as Chaim Bloom says they're engaged in talks, he's not going to be worth the money that he definitely deserves. And again, there's just no room for him. I don't want to play platoon with, you know, somebody, or even put him on another position he didn't play. They put him at first base, and I was just like, that's a disaster waiting to happen. But pitching is their number one priority. It needs to be at the top of their list. They need to be engaged with, you know, even the Oakland A's, who just seem like they just want to sell the entire team up the river. So I think that if they get a starter and then a reliable bullpen guy, this team is going to be a bit more dangerous than last year.
One of the, you know, rumors that is out there is surrounding Eduardo Rodriguez, right? So, you know, John Heyman was reporting that the Red Sox have made him a multi-year offer. Meanwhile, he is still contemplating whether or not to accept the qualifying offer. So there's a lot going on there. What is your sense of things? You know, do you have any sense of which direction this might take? And, you know, if they are trying to sign him to a multi-year deal, you know, what kind of offer do you think it would actually take to retain him?
So for me, it's easy to say that he'll certainly accept the $18.4 million qualifying offer, because I certainly would. But I think that, you know, Erod really started the season hot. He started 5-0, and then he kind of fell off a little bit. He really couldn't find his groove. He struggled a lot after he had the migraine attack, but in the postseason, he really bounced back. So he certainly earned this reported multi-year offer. I personally think that he's going to accept whatever the offer is on top of the qualifying offer. And a lot of that is because he does enjoy being in Boston. They're a competitive playoff team almost every year. And there's so much potential around or questions around this CBA. It expires December 1st. John Heyman also reported that it's going to be 2.5 months of pain. So definitely not looking forward to that. So who knows if there's going to be a work stoppage? Who knows what teams, if they're even going to want to, you know, shell out all this money for a starting pitcher, where you can almost kind of, you know, you have your security. You have, even if he doesn't want the multi-year offer, you have the qualifying offer. You pitch for a year, kind of approve it. One more year and try to earn a bigger money contract. But I'm not really surprised that the Red Sox are trying to do this. He has proven himself. He won 19 games two seasons ago, and this would be a really good year for him to bounce back. And like I said, he likes being here. So in my mind, I think it's a no-brainer to accept it. I think even without seeing the terms, I'm pretty confident in saying that, but I just feel like in a down-ish year for Erod, he would be dumb not to accept almost 20 mil a year.
Pitching is obviously, you know, something you mentioned is the core Red Sox need. I would say that it's the core Blue Jays need. And, you know, I think probably both teams are going to end up spending a fair amount of money in free agency, you know, trying to fill those roles. But another rumor out there right now surrounding the Red Sox that is, you know, relevant to Blue Jays fans' interests is the suggestion that Marcus Semien is a potential target for the Red Sox. So I'm wondering, you know, obviously he's going to be, first of all, if y'all sign Marcus Semien, that rivalry between Boston and Toronto is really going to get cranked up there, just so you know. But, you know, what role would he fill on the team currently? And, you know, would you want the Red Sox to potentially spend that much free agent money on an infielder?
I mean, if they want to shell out money to Marcus Semien, by all means, 100% do it. I think a player like him is somebody who doesn't come around very often. And you nailed it. That would certainly rivalry right there. That would really kind of spark it. And Lucas said there's not too much of a rivalry right now with the Red Sox and Blue Jays, but that certainly would spark one. You know, it's interesting too, because he is a shortstop and Xander Bogaerts just won the Silver Slugger for a shortstop, and he's won Gold Gloves, and he's been a staple at the shortstop position. So it's almost like, where would he go? But, you know, you think kind of after 2022, when JD Martinez's contract expires, maybe you move Xander to second, Marcus Semien goes to shortstop, Rafael Devers moves to the DH. I've had a lot of time to think about this. It's been, you know, it's been a long 3 or 4 weeks since the season ended, but, you know, I love the idea of Marcus Semien in a Red Sox uniform. I mean, I think anyone would love his services in any uniform. I would be very shocked if he leaves Toronto. I don't know so much like what the free agent market up in Toronto looks like and kind of what they're sending, what they want to spend. Obviously he's going to have a lot of money coming his way, but I'm all in. If the Red Sox want him, bring him on over. He will be loved here.
First off, I just love that little subtle little, you know, I've thought about this for 3 to 4 weeks, just that little subtle dig to Blue Jays fans, just another reminder that the Boston Red Sox made the ALCS. Just, you know, great work there, Lauren. But anyway, but, you know, I just, you know, it's so fascinating because I think, look, the CBA, you know, whenever that happens, I mean, hopefully it doesn't delay things, but, you know, it probably will in terms of free agency and whatnot. But I look at the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. Like, the Red Sox are, you know, 9-2-win team, 8 wins back of the Tampa Bay Rays, right? The Blue Jays, of course, 9 wins back of the Tampa Bay Rays. So there's still, I mean, sure, the Red Sox snuck into the playoffs and had a great run. But, I mean, there's still that gap there. So I feel like for Blue Jays and Red Sox, like you said, Jen, a bit earlier, it's going to be probably a similar offseason where I feel like teams are looking to, you know, these teams are looking to spend and they're looking to get better to try to close that gap between the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah. I mean, you look at what the Rays did this year and it's just so funny because I just feel like the Rays are always so underrated and they have such a solid roster and they have their own problems too. And, you know, they love going with the opener pitcher and they've done a lot of unorthodox things that seem to work in their favor. And then, you know, also the trop, which that's a whole nother topic.
House of Whores, Lauren. Oh. You're free to say it. House of Whores.
It's a nightmare.
It is. It's awful. I've never actually been, but I've seen enough games over my 32 years where I'm just like, that's enough trop for me. Thank you. But, you know, I think that the Rays have really, like the Blue Jays have come into their own after being bad for so long. And now they're the team to beat, where the Red Sox and the Yankees were always the teams to beat. So now it's like, they have to keep up with the Rays and they need to maybe not necessarily win 100 games, but if you're winning upwards like 95 to 98, you're staying right on pace with them. And they need to continue to do that because, like the Blue Jays, the Rays are not going anywhere.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be a fascinating offseason. It's going to be a fascinating 2022, and hopefully the Blue Jays and Red Sox, you know, will duke it out once again, and hopefully play in September, because I feel like the scheduler shafted, I feel like, both clubs a little bit there by not playing any, you know, September baseball, because, man, would Fenway Park be a time, Blue Jays, Red Sox, with meaningful September baseball. Unfortunately, though, Lauren, we are going to be out of time here, but we are so grateful, of course, for you to come on the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. Where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at La 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 Lauren, three laws and Lauren with four R's, and the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at LO_Red Sox.
That is unreal. That is unreal. Jen, of course, before we wrap it up, where can people find you?
So I can be found at baseball_Jen. That's Jen with two N's. And I just, Lauren, want to make a really quick confession, much to the chagrin of Blue Jays fans. My favorite player of all time is Dustin Pedroia.
Yes.
I just wanted to show a little bit of love. You know, I know he retired this year. It was quite the ceremony. And I'd regret it if I didn't mention it here.
I love to hear that. You know, who doesn't love Dustin Pedroia?
Yes.
And I'll just say this, you know, to add on to that, to me, the best ballpark in baseball is Fenway. So, I mean, you know, so to me, you know, Fenway gets top nods in my book. You know, whenever I was there, it was quite the time. So
very historic.
No doubt. Well, that's all the time we have here, folks, for the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. Again, I want to thank all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Of course, we're going to be continuing our coverage of the offseason on Locked On Blue Jays, so please tune into that. Of course, make our second listen of the day, Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. That podcast is a free and available on all platforms. Locked On Blue Jays is also free and available on all platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. All right, everyone, for those listening to Locked On Blue Jays, I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. Have yourselves a wonderful night.